Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Julia Whittup with Talk Story Radio, and we have with us this morning Dr. Catherine Foster, who will be talking about relationship empowerment. Good morning, Dr. Foster.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Okay, so where do you want to start with this talking about relationship empowerment?
Well, let's talk first about why the romantic relationships can be frustrating, you know. And I think that we have to have an understanding, a critical image in our head about our brains, because they're very old and they adapted to certain roles. Most people have heard that men were hunters and women were nurturers for almost all, like 99.9% of human development. But to digest these powerful ideas and apply them to our personal romances takes a step back. So these brain structures affect our relationships in at least three ways. One is that men had to toughen themselves emotionally to kill and do battle. You don't just go out and shoot a deer and keep your empathy intact. You have to suspend it. And we still, by the way, have 179 remaining hunter-gatherer societies where we can look at these societies and see that it's still overwhelmingly the guy's job to hunt and to make war. So while men were suspending empathy, women were doing something opposite. They were giving birth, which hormonally flooded them with empathy. And remember that empathy is the ability to get into somebody else's shoes, to kind of read them. And Mother Nature knew that a woman would have to do that to be able to take care of an infant and a little child. So that's the first thing. Yeah, it has to do with emotion and empathy. The second has to do with when male hunters killed or pursued animals, their testosterone would rise sharply. And that made their sex drives high, for one thing. Men today have 10 to 20, some people say 30 times the testosterone that women do. Now, testosterone also causes a focus on the self or a self-interested, self-oriented perspective. What's kind of opposite is that women developed more oxytocin, which made their emotional self bloom. And oxytocin is kind of everything that a baby needs. It makes you giving, it makes you nurturing, it makes you self-sacrificing. It's very opposite of what testosterone does. Females' testosterone needed to stay low. They have some, of course, but it was important that her sex drive wasn't too high because she needed a high-touch but non-sexual relationship with her children in order to stimulate their brain growth. So, Julia, that's the second thing, is testosterone versus oxytocin. The third thing is that it has to do with language. Men developed as silent stalkers of prey. If you're hunting, you don't want to arouse the fight or flight in the animals. So they learned to use language in staccato, factual ways. They didn't develop language in the same way women did, as teachers of kids, because, you know, that can be a lot of talking and explaining all day long, and also cooperating with other women so they could go out to gather. Women came to see language as the way that you develop closeness. So those three things, men and women are different in terms of language, in terms of the amount of testosterone or oxytocin they have, and also in the way they deal with emotion, especially empathy. So therefore, romance is actually an agreement to meet the needs of someone with different needs. And because our brains developed around old roles, we have to consciously manage ourselves.
I see, okay. So do we have to communicate more like men in order for them to connect with us?
That's a good question. I think that in some ways we do, but also men have to adapt to women, which means that women have to explain what they're like. in terms of women adapting to men, I think what a woman has to understand is that whereas she's empathy driven, he is win, W-I-N, driven. He's seeking wins. So when she goes to talk to him, you know, a lot of women will talk on and on about how they feel, believing that sooner or later the guy's going to show empathy in his eyes and then everything will be fine. He'll get it and everything will be great. But he's not doing that. He's looking for a win. So if she, instead of explaining all her emotions, begins with what it is she wants him to do, what the bottom line is, then he'll hear that and be able to do it, and the conversation will go much better. For instance, if she says, would you text me every night at 4 o'clock to let me know what time you'll be home for dinner? He can hear that and go, I can do that, you know. And that feels like he can produce a win in the relationship. By the way, this is very biologically driven. When a guy has a win, his dopamine goes up. And dopamine is kind of what makes us happy and interested in the world and feeling positive. And that causes his testosterone to go up, which causes him to feel confident and masculine. So that's why men seek wins. So that's very different than a woman saying, you know, it really hurts my feelings when I don't know what time you're coming home for dinner. And it's a struggle for me. I put your dinner in the microwave. I don't know what to do. I don't know when you're coming. It seems like it would be more considerate if, you know, that's what you say to somebody who's also empathy driven, because they would hear that, they would feel bad, and that would change everything. So, yeah, I think a woman and a man have to manage how they talk to each other.
Okay. That's interesting. So
speaking
that gets
of,
kind of complex. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is, because our brains developed in opposite ways.
My husband tries to finish my sentences like I'm talking too slowly or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's
he
often
may be,
wrong.
Yeah, he may be wanting to get to the bottom line as quickly as he can. Testosterone causes the brain to be efficiency seeking.
Okay, so I could say, well, how could I rephrase
it? Well, yeah, I mean, I think that a woman has to get alone and journal or talk to a friend or something to kind of go through her feelings and the more expanded view of what she's going through, and get to the bottom line. What is it you want from him? That's what he's kind of frustrated until he hears what it is you want. Because again, picture men learning language, developing language as silent stalkers of prey, and just using language factually. You know, so his brain is set up to try to figure out, what are you getting at? You know, what do you really want me to do? And, of course, a lot of times you want him to understand and you want him to just listen. And you can say that too. You know, I just need to know that you understand and I want to tell you what I'm feeling. That's okay. But he needs some heads up as to where the conversation is going.
Okay. Sometimes these are factual. Like this morning I said, I'd like to go to that new restaurant that Debbie mentioned, the one mm-hmm. across from. And before I could finish saying across from the college, he said what he thought I was going to say. And he does that mm-hmm. a lot. And I thought, what? Was I talking too slowly for you?
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably just trying to be efficient in the speech. Mm. Yeah, does it hurt your feelings?
Okay. Well, no, but I'm stopped right in the middle of my sentence. I have to consider, what is he talking about? you know, it actually slowed down the efficiency because I was just about to say right across from the college.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he said right across from the mall, that one blah, 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 and I'm like, what? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you may want to have a neutral conversation at a neutral time when you're not having this kind of dialogue to say, I think it would speed up our conversation. Because he'd relate to the idea of speeding it up, you know. And you could just say, I think it would speed up the conversations if you let me finish my sentence. But let's go back to the women part of this, okay?
Okay.
Because how this affects romance for women. So let me illustrate by imagining that there's two women, they're heterosexual, they're going to lunch, and they know that they want to deepen their friendship. So we can pretty much predict how they will go about doing this. They're going to share negative emotion. So they're going to say stuff like, you know, I felt so hurt when blah, blah, blah happened, or I really felt cheated the other day when blah, blah, blah. They're going to make disclosures, and they're going to seek to be very real with each other. And that works with women. They will become closer because they've been really genuine with each other. Now, women understand that. So let's take one of these women, and now she goes to dinner with her guy. And again, she wants to deepen the closeness with him. So she does the same thing. She starts talking about her negative emotion, only it doesn't work. Because here's mirror neurons, which is a part of the brain, begin jumping up and down and go in search of the fastest way to get her out of distress. He has no idea that he's shutting her down. She doesn't want or need a fix to what she's saying. And it feels like he just poured cold water over her attempts to get closer. So she decides, well, that didn't work. So she tries getting him to talk, getting him to disclose. But that doesn't work either, because a man's mind is often in neutral, and he kind of likes it that way. He likes the peaceful way that feels. So she gets nothing. Now, the reason this is the way it is, and we now know this because we have more sophisticated MRIs that have shown us, that by the age of 17, a girl's brain has transformed so that the processing of emotion moves up to her cerebral cortex. Now, that's the higher brain. That's where higher mental functionings take place, like reflection, language, reasoning. So she's different. She can now explain what she feels and why she feels what she does. She can hook up words to feelings, and she can reason through emotion. So when this happens by the age of 17, her emotional intelligence has taken a leap. And she's now quite different than a guy. She thinks her feelings, and she feels her thoughts. So her identity becomes associated with her ability to have thought feelings. I like using that word, thought feelings. Now, negative emotion remains in the primitive brain for guys. So if you're asking a 7-year-old boy or a 57-year-old man why he's mad or sad, you often will get, well, I'm not mad, or I don't know. And because the processing of negative emotion remains in the more primitive brain for men, and you may have noticed this, but men kind of suspicion of their emotion and of emotion in general, and like it's something to be bridled. They fear being reactive. They know what kind of consequences can happen, including violence, if they're reactive. And this is because their emotion is less hooked up to thought. It's less hooked up to reasoning than is a female's. So if she sounds upset, he might think he's doing her a favor by just trying to calm her down.
Yeah.
But the problem is that she's different. And honestly, Julia, one of the things I think is a difficulty in the English language is that, and we haven't known all this for very long, but I don't think females' emotion should be called the same thing as what a guy calls his emotion. I think, now it can be with positive emotion, but with a negative, it's different. So all this leads me, as a person who's been doing marital therapy for 28 years, to joke with men in therapy and tell them that they need a tattoo on one wrist that reminds them to say, "You're the most important person in my life. I want to know how you feel." And on the other wrist, another tattoo that says, "And tell me more about how you feel." And this is because her very identity is hooked up to these thought feelings, this capability she has to reason through what she feels. She likes to talk about it. Now, after I wrote the book, The Naked Truth About Men and Romance, I realized that I really needed to write a second book, which I did, and it's called What Women Want Really. Now, that book is written for men. I mean, it's bullet-pointed, it's concise, it's a handbook, really, on getting women, you know.
But to the point,
it's meant
and direct.
To be, what's that?
To the point and direct.
It really is, because men don't really buy self-help books and relationship books. So this is meant to be more down their alley. It is very, very blunt. But it's meant to be read by couples, preferably a couple times a year or more, you know, if there's struggles. Because it includes discussion questions for the guy to ask the woman so that he can get her in a place where she is talking, where intimacy is being developed in that way, and the frustrations drain out of the relationship. The truth is that people don't know this stuff, and they don't know how to manage these very different brains.
Right.
So this is, the book is kind of a handbook on how you do that.
They don't even know they have different brains.
No. No, the deal is that when we love somebody, and especially when we're falling in love, we project ourselves onto them. So we assume that they are like we are. We're the same.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's very common. We all do that. But the truth is that we are not the same. However, let me give a caveat to this. It's very, very interesting. When we're first dating, Mother Nature wants to assist us because she wants us to couple up. So she gives us a hormonal cocktail. It's quite an infusion. It's very powerful. I mean, we think hurricanes are powerful. Well, this is powerful too. And our dopamine gets upped, so that causes us to be happy and to be have very wide interests. So you might go to football games with the guy, but you're never going to do that later. And he might go to visit your grandma for 3 hours and talk, but he's not going to do that later. He's empowered right during the courtship to do that kind of stuff. Then we have more norepinephrine, which causes us to be obsessed. So we're thinking about the other person constantly, and that helps us to bond with them. Then we have up testosterone. Now, of course, that ups the sex drive of both, but guys have much higher testosterone to begin with. So what it causes the guy to do is to think, "I will get her. No matter what it takes, I will get her." Now, that feels pretty good to the female. And then there's a weird part of this cocktail, and that is that our serotonin goes down. Now, serotonin is what goes up when you take an antidepressant, and it's what keeps us from being depressed. So that means that when you're away from your object of desire, you feel a little blue. So what do? you get together with them as quick as you can so you can experience the dopamine again and feel good. Now, then there's another thing that happens that I think is profoundly interesting and isn't talked about very much. And that is, there's only two times in a guy's life when his oxytocin goes up. And remember that oxytocin is basically the female hormone, and it's everything babies need. It makes you relationship-oriented, makes you giving and self-sacrificing. But see, his goes up during a courtship. So during a courtship, he is more like a woman than he's going to be later. So he talks more, and he does disclose some feelings, and he is, in fact, more in touch with his feelings, and she likes that. Now, he will also have higher oxytocin when she gives birth to a baby. And, of course, that oxytocin is there for the father at that time because he needs to bond with the baby.
Uh-huh.
So interesting, huh? We kind of get...
Interesting. And what about men who are not there when the baby is born? Do they not have that?
Oh, I think it's optimal for them to be there, but that infusion of oxytocin can last up to a year.
Okay.
So he's got time.
I'm just thinking of these guys who are overseas in the army when their babies are born.
Yeah, I know. They can still bond. But you know, the other piece of this really is that, let's say a guy isn't going to be home for a year or two, really, to bond with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what I'm talking about. We have to consciously, as men and women, running around with old brains in a modern world, we have to consciously manage our brains. So that guy who isn't around his baby when the baby's young must make special efforts. You know, he has to do what may not be so natural, but to spend a lot of time with a two-year-old or a three-year-old, you know, and do things that bond. He just has to be conscious. We all do. We have to be conscious. To be in a relationship and make it successful, you have to be conscious.
I guess there's always Skype.
You bet. You know, we talked about the female brain. Let me go over to the male brain for a minute here, because, you know, I told you that by the age of 17, she's had this brain change that causes her to process negative emotion very differently. Something is going on with him at the same time. So somewhere between the ages of 9 and 15, you know, whenever puberty hits, a boy's daily quotient of testosterone goes from one cup, you know, going through his, circulating through his body all day long, and get this, it soars to 2 gallons a day.
Gallons? That's a magnitude. I thought you were going to say 2 cups.
I know. It's 2 gallons. It goes from 1 cup to 2 gallons. Now, that impacts the way the brain is, okay? So it livens up his, what we call the hypothalamus in the brain, and it causes it to grow about 2.5 times what a girl's is going to be. Now, what that does is it pushes sexual conquest to the front of his thinking. And,
wow.
Yeah, it that's why, you know, a lot of self-help books, magazines tell women, and of course women are getting all kinds of advice today, but I like to go back to the brain structure because I think that's most fundamental. But a lot of self-help books tell women at the beginning of the relationship, at least, don't pursue him, let him pursue you, because if you pursue him, he won't feel this hunt, which is very much a part of his brain, and it feels good to feel your masculinity or your femininity. So then another part of the brain develops in men. It's more active during sex. and it contributes to intense pleasure. Now, women may like sex, and they do, but even if she likes it a lot, she may value it less than her guy does, because his brain structure increases the intensity of his pleasure. Now, let me go to something else here, because this all relates to the development of the man's brain. Men are, right now, 4 times more likely than women to see sex and emotional closeness as the same thing. Yeah. So,
and we don't think that way at all, I don't think.
No. Typically, women think that sex is symbolic of the emotional closeness you feel with somebody. And the emotional closeness is developed through dialogue. So it's a different orientation. But, you know, a couple things about that. One is that a woman needs to understand that when a man is seeking sex, he is usually, and I'm talking about within a relationship, you know, he's usually seeking to up the emotional closeness, and that's how he goes about feeling it. He doesn't feel it through dialogue in the way that she does. So there has to be this feedback loop in an empowered relationship where, you know, he learns to listen and give emotional support, which is what the book What Women Want really teaches. And she learns to meet his sexual needs. Because really, when a woman makes a commitment to a man for a romantic relationship, she is, at least in his mind, making an agreement to be sexually active and available throughout the relationship.
Right. Wow, yeah. I can't believe how fast this interview is gone. We only have two minutes left.
Yeah.
I think you really should do a webinar for us. But before we have to sign off here, could you tell us where people can get your book and where they might be able to contact you?
Yeah, they can just go to Amazon.com and put in the titles, The Naked Truth About Men and Romance, or What Women Want, Really. And you can also go to my website. just go to Catherine, which is K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. So it's CatherineFosterPhD.com. And click on books. And I actually have 5 books. 2 of them are novels. And all of them are listed right there on the website. And they can you can click on the link to purchase them if you want to.
Great. Well, it was so good having you here.
Thank you.
And I hope you will subscribe to my channel where you can connect with all the other subscribers. They have little profiles where you can connect with them and write up your profile so they can connect with you.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And for all you listeners, I'd love to see you subscribe as well. That's talkstory.media, M-E-D-I-A. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.